Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks so much for being with us. If it's evening where you are, it could be any time of day because people listen all over the world at whatever time they plug into the recording. But we record live on Thursday evenings, and my guest tonight is Ursula Lentini, who has been with us before. And we had so much fun, we decided we would do it again. So we will be talking with Ursula in a few minutes, but first tonight's metaphysical musing. And first, I'd like to just acknowledge the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, and wish everybody who is celebrating Shana Tova and have a wonderful evening and eat all that good stuff. But we were before the show talking about Facebook, and a young lady on a spiritual path was posting a comment that said something like, "I just want everything to be easy. Why does everything have to be so complicated and hard?" To which my comment was, "On this planet?" And she really didn't get it. This planet, at least space-time on what appears to be this planet, involves chaos and entropy, so things will always be a little bit complicated and not go smoothly. But there's a bigger issue in terms of how things manifest as an outcome of what we desire, the metaphysics of it. So people ask for something and they don't realize that what they're saying is they want life to change. They say, "I just want this thing." But what they're really saying is, "I want my life to change." And you can do that by just focusing on something, having the desire, praying, meditating, doing visualization, whatever your thing is to create that focus. What you're saying is, "I want things to be different." There's one thing that really rarely gets talked about, which is people ask for what they don't have, and they don't have it for a reason. And that reason usually is something that is hiding deep in their unconscious because they really don't want to know it. It's something painful or difficult or complicated or whatever it is. So the reason you don't have it is, and you've never had it before, is that there's something in the way. You push it away with this unconscious stuff you don't know about. So if you ask for that change, the universe will give you an opportunity to heal whatever is in the way. The problem with that is it looks a whole lot like work and like your life going to hell in a handbasket. And that's where all of the real powerful growth on the path is. But most people get to that point and go, "Oh, I don't like this at all." And as the joke goes, "I think I'll have a cookie. I'll have whatever it is that makes me feel better and I'll stop focusing on this." And two things happen. One, they don't heal whatever that deep-seated problem is, which would let them have a very different life. And secondly, they don't get what they want. So it's one of those, the movie The Secret came out and made everything sound really simple and straightforward. Just focus on it repeatedly with emotion and you'll get anything you want magically. Sometimes, if you like coffee and you put out to the universe that you want a free cup of coffee, it's really easy to get someone to offer you a cup of coffee. However, if you really don't like coffee, it's going to be really hard to manifest that. And if somewhere in the back of your mind, you were told that coffee is dangerous and bad, no matter how much you try to make that thing happen, it's not going to happen. So the real work is just a tad more complex than the superficial story about metaphysics. And that, appropriately, is our metaphysical musing. And now we get to play with the wonderful Ursula Lentini. Thanks so much for coming back.
Thank you.
And I said, oh, pick a topic. And you picked the simple, you know, the simplest thing we could talk about, which is the spiritual path. I'm not sure if we're talking about what it is or how one travels down it, but it was what came up and what did you have in mind?
Well, this is something I talk about because my life is based on it. So, you know, some people like basketball. I hang out on the path and just check it out all the time. And I invite people to come on their path. And then I'm the tour guide. And so I'm just familiar with the path. I talk about it a lot. I'm on it. Sometimes I am it. And, you know, I help people find it. And it's fascinating for me. It's just something very fascinating for me. And it's rough. You know, you think, oh, straight and narrow. The Bible says straight and narrow. And you're like, straight and narrow. How hard can that be? It's very hard because of our mind wants to go off in this direction. And, oh, look, there's a pink flower over there. And, oh, let me follow the bird. And we're so easily distracted. Yeah. AD squirrel. I had a friend who's like, I have ADD, but he can't even say ADD. He's like, AD, oh, squirrel. So it's just a fascinating journey, and there's many elements to it. And the more I do this work, the more I realize, oh, there's quite a few nuances. But just like anything in life, there's patterns, and it may be one doesn't look like another, but when you step back and look at the sequence of events, the pattern's there.
Right.
And when I start looking at the patterns and seeing what's going on here, then life becomes simpler. And the secret, you know, they boiled it down quite a bit. And when you were saying you can get what you want, yeah, if you're clear in that area. But if you're not cleared of your subconscious garbage or your blocks or your resistance or your storyline, then you're not going to get it. But once you're clear, then you're going to get it. But how many of us are completely clear in all areas of our life?
Right, right. So the trick is to ask for the only for things that are in the areas that you're clear on.
In the Centers for Spiritual Living, we always say start with parking spots.
Right, right. With parking spots, I try to remind people that a parking spot is not a space. It's an event that's space and time. It doesn't matter how many spots are empty as long as there's one empty for you when you get there. And once you figure that out, people pull out in front of you and give you the parking spot.
I always have parking spots. And in the beginning, it was so like, ooh, it works.
Right.
And now my enthusiasm is for more, you know, greater things than that. But I'm always grateful because we have to be grateful for every little good thing that happens in our life because that creates more of it to come.
Right.
So let's talk about the beginning of the spiritual path. And there's many people who are asleep. And I describe the spiritual path as being awake. How do you go from asleep to awake? Well, most people, they have an alarm. And the awakening process is also called Shaktipat. And that's the word for 2x4, spiritual 2x4. And it's a car accident. It's finding out your spouse is cheating on you and has been for several years. It's the hospital visit with the diagnosis. It's a death. It's so many different things can put us on our heels and just veer us back from our normal day to day. And it just is a wake up call. 9/11, you know, wake up call. You just, whoa, wait a minute. Who am I and what the hell am I doing here?
Right.
And everything gets questioned. And people sometimes get very, very angry, like they've been living a lie. And they've known it, but they didn't really want to deal with it. But now that this emergency situation or life change or job loss happens to them, now they can't be the sheep following the shepherd. They've been pushed out of the mainstream. And now they have to do something different. And that is usually a wake up where they can see things. They can see the lies. They can begin to see the truth. And usually it's almost like, you know, the Raiders of the Lost Ark or those kind of movies where the guy is tumbling down a mountain and the rock stops him from falling off the cliff. And then, oh my goodness, I'm on a whole nother reality and here I am. And that's usually how people arrive on the spiritual path.
Well, it is in our culture. In other cultures, there are initiations which you're expected to do at certain times in your life that are the openings to the spiritual path. Or I know in India, after a man has had his family and his kids are out of the house, so he's been what they call a pogi, he has the option of becoming a yogi. So in their 50s, they take off to find their guru and do whatever path they're going to go on. But it's part of the culture to do that. The wake-up calls are not typically tripping and falling on your face in a very powerful way that gets your attention. The problem in our culture is there really aren't very many other ways that people get that calling. There are people who get that calling, but not a whole lot. So, yeah, it's frequently a very severe wake-up call.
Yes. And then when we're on the path, there's a befuddlement because life used to be a certain way. You know how if a city hosts the Olympics, they say, oh, well, you know, before the Olympics, there was this street and these were behind. And after the Olympics, it's like that. So this is kind of how it is before and after. And in the beginning, you're always comparing because you only knew one reality. And now everything's kind of weird and funky. And there's a disbelief about what's happening, but an experience about what's happening. And a feeling of lost. Because sometimes with this Shaktipat, this awakening, there's a loss of identity, a loss of job, a loss of power, a loss. And then we feel lost. As soon as we get on the path, we're like, I think I'm lost because I don't know. Right. Nothing's familiar here. But you're in a territory and you're on the path. So you just keep moving, kind of like Wizard of Oz. You know, she just kept walking forward. She didn't know where the heck she was going. She knew she needed to be going somewhere. She couldn't just sit around there. And many people will sit around for a while, especially in a bereavement situation. They'll just sit. And I think that's a really healthy thing to do, is just sit and be. Because the spiritual path is about being. So the more we just be, the better the path experience becomes. But people don't know that because we have not been raised here in America to just be.
Right.
You're a lazy bum if you're just being.
Exactly. We find being busy and especially moving quickly to somehow be important.
Yeah. And I don't know where that really, really comes from. I think, you know, the sitting duck kind of thing. If you look at our animalistic nature, you know, keep moving, you're less of a target.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's also the sense that if you're not, in quotation marks, being productive, that there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever being productive means, I don't know exactly.
Well, just look at all the different ages that America has been through, you know, between surviving the different tragedies that have happened, the depression and all of that. I mean, if you sat still, you could die. And then the age of industry, when everybody had to be working, like you couldn't hang out and do nothing while all your neighbors are working. So I think there's like a peer pressure around preparing for winter, you know, way back in the very beginning when we were all pioneers and frontier people. I think there is a thing about moving. The earth is always moving, right? Weather is always moving. So there's something about movement that we're accustomed to. And I think the sitting still is so foreign to our human nature that it's uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable because of what you were saying in your intro, that things start coming up. And you know, we don't like being uncomfortable, so we just keep moving. And I think also the workaholics that America tends to be is the big distractor of what's going on in our hearts and the pain right. that's blocking us from, you know, being magnificent.
Right. It's, I read someone put it that we work 40 hours a week so that we can spend the weekend forgetting that we work 40 hours a week. So people create distractions and drink and, you know, do things to get excited, like watch football and all of that stuff on the weekend, because there's so little time built into their weekly schedule to do any of that. And it becomes a cycle of, in a lot of ways, binge and purge.
Yes.
So, you know, you can't do it during the week, so it becomes important to do it on the weekend, but none of it, none of the stuff that happens as that distraction on the weekend typically is very important.
Yes, and it's high stimulation.
Or very juicy, right.
To balance out the humdrum of the 9-to-5 working for the other guy that you never even know, and you don't even, I think a lot of people aren't satisfied in their work and in their life, and so they go to sleep. And right. those are the people who are not on their path because they're sleeping. And on right. the path, you need to be awake. And the more you deal with the path and the more you be present with whatever's in front of you, even if it's a giant boulder blocking the path, you think, oh my God, I'm never going to get around this. And your next adventure is, how do you climb the boulder, or how do you, you know, get through the boulder and this obstacle? And that is a part of the path. Like the young lady on Facebook that you mentioned, everybody wants it easy. It's not easy. Life in general is not easy.
Right.
So we have to make it as fun as possible. And I think if we get to know ourselves, I'm sure you entertain yourself all day long, David. Yeah, I thought so. The more we get to know ourselves inside, the more entertaining we become, because we realize there's a whole internal culture that goes on, our thoughts, our feelings. And once we stop taking ourselves so seriously, it can become very, very entertaining. Most of my friends laugh out loud all by themselves.
Right, right. Yeah. I laugh at all kinds of things all the time, and it frequently seems pretty silly to be by myself and laughing at things, but life is pretty funny.
It can be. Step back to see it that way.
Right. Right. You know, and it's, I think, the essence of situation comedies on television, that rather than looking at our own lives and how funny they are and the silly things that we're all doing, we put it out there on packaged on TV. Although situation comedies have gone from actually being insightful and funny to being mostly about being rude and treating people badly. And that's really an interesting shift in the culture.
And it's that stimulation, right? Because I believe our true nature is loving kindness. I mean, we really mm-hmm. are good people. If somebody gets hurt or something, everybody is, you know, like, oh dear, if it happens right in front of you, if it happens on the news, you continue eating your hamburger, you don't care.
Right.
If it's somebody that really is in front of you, everybody does have a kind heart, and they, you know, people are giving, people are good, I believe, because that's the world I live in. But I think, when we have something bad going on, I mean, look at the whole media deal. It's all bad news, because why? It's stimulating. Oh, it's shocking. Oh, how dare they? Oh, that's inappropriate. Oh, you know, right. So now you get a rise out of them, and great. Now they're distracted of their own problems. Well, you know, my crisis isn't that bad. Look at, you know, that kid's being hung by a rope. Oh, okay. That's terrible. And I think it's just stimulation and, again, distraction.
Well, it's also selling things.
Yeah.
There, you know, the science is that there are two emotions that will stop you from thinking and make you buy. And one of them is fear. So all commercials are basically about fear, and the other is sexual stimulation. Mm-hmm. So news, the news is a perfect place to put a product because all of the news is about fear. And then you put a pretty girl in the ad, and you've got both of those emotions running, and people will buy stuff they have absolutely no need for. You know, they've been working on that stuff for 90 years now. They're pretty good at it.
Yeah, they have it down to a science.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the people who are awake, they start seeing through the gimmicks that the media and the government and the Food and Drug Administration and the school system are all putting out there. And they're like, wait a minute, that's not right. Right. And I find a lot of people who are on the beginning of their path, they feel lost, but they also feel angry.
Yes.
They feel like they've been lied to. They feel like they've bought into a program that's a bunch of dust. That's just not really true. And they are mad that they've wasted their life. They're mad that they, and I think another piece of being mad is they knew the truth all along, but everybody else was giving them a pack of lies. And they said, okay, well, fine. I guess this is the way it is. Everything falls apart. And they see that they knew all along, you know, this is the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. And these people and my family and blah, blah, blah. So things fall apart on the path. Things fall apart in order to get on the path. And then they continue to fall apart. And then we think like, oh, my God, my life is falling apart. And now I'm mad. And now I'm mad that I'm mad that my life is falling apart. And I'm mad that I'm mad.
Right.
And then it starts getting into a really funky place where there's so much frustration. But what if you look at it energetically, it's the fire inside is starting to burn. Things are starting to catch. There's enough oxygen flow to get the flames really bursting and some passion gets awakened. So, again, our animal nature, passion is easily obtainable through anger. So we get a little feisty, we get a little like, well, hell, then I'm going to, and then you just start saying, well, to hell with this. I'm not going to buy into this program. I'm going to midlife crisis. I'm going to buy a motorcycle and go for a ride. I'm going to, you know, change my hair. I'm going to go blonde now. So they kind of are rejecting the normal society and moving along the path.
Right.
Go ahead.
And the people around them get really scared because now, who are you? And how should I react to you? And you're no longer predictable.
And they get very nervous because they think, well, if you're going to wake up, then you're going to see all my lies. And I don't want you to see my lies. And I don't want to see my lies.
Right.
So you better get back in the box. And, you know, you tell Jack, get back in the box. And he's like, yeah, go ahead and wind that thing up because I'm coming back out again. And somebody who's awake, they can't go back to sleep.
Right.
So they can use, they can drug, they can drink, but it won't do the avoidance, it won't do the escape any longer. It just won't work. So again, another layer of anger. I've lost control of my own life. I can't lie anymore to myself. And now there's nudity. They feel like they're out in the woods naked. I know there's a new show called Naked and Afraid where people are like running around naked. And I'm like, what? And I don't have a TV. So I just hear these things from other friends. And I think, what the hell have we come to? So I think that creates loneliness, too, because this path, like we were saying earlier, is internal. It's we can get entertained after we're done taking ourselves seriously, but it causes an internal inventory because we look around and we say, okay, this is not true. You know, this whole program that I've been bought into, you know, pension plan and everything's cut in half and now I'm fired and I can't even what? Mm-hmm. Then we start looking.
On our path right here, we're going to have to take a break.
Okay. Boy, that's flying fast.
Yes. We always have fun.
Because we're having fun.
So we will be back shortly, unless we get taller, with Ursula Lentini talking about the path here on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. So don't go nowhere.
come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the Insta-Do. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. Then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home. But these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back.
Did you pick that forest commercial on purpose?
No.
That's the path. They just described the spiritual path on your commercial.
Well, there you go.
The free to be me, go to the forest. And being on the path is like being in the woods. In the restaurant business, they say, I'm in the weeds, meaning, you know, everything's lost control. I'm off the path. And then when I was working in the restaurant, I used to get in the woods. And they don't look at me like, oh my God. But it is, it's like being lost in the woods. That's what it feels like when we're on the spiritual path. And it's also back to that movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, when he's trying to get across that big cavern, that ravine kind of thing. It's a big opening, and he's like, I need to get to the other side. I can't jump. And they said, just walk, and then a stone appears in front of his foot. That's the spiritual path. That is the epitome of the spiritual path. And our ego and all of this other stuff, fear wants to know, where am I going and how do I need to get there? And no answers are available. It's just go ahead. And a lot of the instruction doesn't happen either. You just figure it out. And also, like art, you feel your way through the spiritual path. So our mind, our ego-based, our fear-based mind doesn't get much play time on the spiritual path.
Right,
and I think
that
freaks a lot of people out, and it slows them down.
Well, the part of the path or the modality that I talk about a lot is walkabout, which is kind of more formalized version of exactly what you're talking about. Walkabout or vision quest. And the traditional way of doing that is you announce that you're doing it, you ask for support, you give away everything that was defining your life so that you can leave carrying just what you need, and walk out completely free, not knowing what's going to happen or how are you going to deal with it. And you go out into the wilderness, whatever the wilderness looks like. So, you know, in the traditional Australian Aboriginal walkabout, they literally went out into the wilderness with a spear and a knife. But I know I did it. I know a lot of other people that have done it in the quote unquote modern world, where you just say, okay, I know I need to go here. I can't take my stuff with me, and I don't have any idea how this is going to work out, but I have to go there and find out. And some people do it, and they don't have any idea they're doing it. You know, it's how their life unfolds and what's been thrown at them. But doing it consciously is an incredible experience.
Yeah, because it's empowering to know that you're saying okay to the unknown. It's like when I do session work with people, they kind of like, I got to get my appointment. Here I am. Hi. You know, they're like, I pulled myself here. And then we go into the subconscious, and it's a walkabout, because we don't know what's going to happen, who's going to show up, how terrible it's going to be, something maybe that's forgotten, like you said earlier in your intro, things that we don't even know is lurking down there. And people remember things and like, oh my God.
Right.
And that's the, but after you get beat up a few times, you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. When on the spiritual path, not necessarily in the session work, but on the spiritual path, you're like, okay, I made it through that. And you know what? I'm a tougher person because of it. You know, I'm a bigger person. I feel like I just went through a rites of passage, and now I can own something about myself. Or I said no for the first time to somebody. Or, you know, I broke through this thing. Or I tried something new. Then people feel like it. I think it builds confidence. A true confidence, not somebody else's report card, but within, something that you've proved to yourself. And I think that gives us a maturity, you know, and a self-realization, a self-acceptance, a self-gratitude. Like, you know what? I'm a pretty cool person. I'm really fine. I think it gives us a strength, and we've proven to ourselves something along the road.
Mm-hmm. It also develops trust in spirit, however you define that. So you know that when you're out there with no answers, you can ask for what the next step is or what the answer is. And whether you can see it or hear it isn't the point. The answer will be presented to you. Someone will show up. Some event will happen. You'll be given a gift. You know, somebody will show up and say, oh, you need a place to stay tonight? Come on over and have dinner. Whatever it is that you need in ways that you never would have been able to plan if you were trying to sit down and create a musical score that was going to go out and explain all this. And that's an incredibly powerful change when people really get that you can trust the universe and there will be what you need.
Yes. Yes.
Very much so, financially, support-wise. And I think the children of today are so in a fast pace that, and they're not necessarily on the spiritual path, but they're in such a fast pace that they don't like to own things because that stuff slows them down. And as I learn about the new culture of their experience, I think, oh, you know, that's exactly like the spiritual path. The less we hang on to, like you said, you put all your belongings, you know, put them down and you just walk because you don't need lots of stuff. You don't need identity and security and all of that. You just get provided for. And if you do need something, it shows up. And most of the time we realize we don't need what we thought we needed. And the things that we do need, we already have. And that's such a freedom to realize that, you know, stuff, a house, a car, an identity, a title is not necessary in life. When I do hospice work, things get really simple and people lose so many things. And again, that's another rites of passage. It's another wake up call. It's another like, uh-oh, game over. All right, what did I learn? what do I need from here? And the list gets really, really short. And it's about love. It's about respect. People kind of do a life review and then they think, okay, what do I need to say before I go? You know, cleaning slate, cleaning relationships up, asking for forgiveness, apologizing. And again, this is a part of the spiritual path. Like in the AA program, the addiction programs, they talk about doing an inventory and, you know, you just clear things out. You just say, oh, look, this is not going to work on my path. And I think even people who do like the Appalachian Trail, they start out with a big backpack full of all kinds and it gets too heavy to carry and they can't walk on the path.
Yeah. The joke is 200 pounds of lightweight equipment.
They try to outsmart spirit and spirit's like, go ahead, climb up this mountain with that bunch of stuff because, and they learn and they just unpack it. One other thing I wanted to talk about is the 12th hour. And I find that this is a spiritual path. So it's as if we're walking around a clock and we have a particular issue and 50% of the cure is discovering the issue. So the lie, basically. So 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, we're like, wait a minute, this isn't working in my life. 3 o'clock, you're real clear about the issue and you start attacking it. You start working with it. You can start getting real with it. About 6 o'clock, you feel like, okay, I've got this down. I've got this down. I'm getting it. I'm understanding it. I'm making better decisions for myself in this area. And 9 o'clock hits and you're like, dude, I am master of this thing. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you're fine. You don't even pay attention to it anymore. And then 11:55 rolls around and it's like the Grim Reaper all of a sudden shows up and says, oh, no, no, no. And it's as if the problem was as fresh as 1 o'clock and you're as afraid as 1 o'clock and you're scared and you don't know what's going on and you don't know why this monster has reappeared. You thought you mastered it. You thought you got it down. What's going on here? And it's like waking up in the middle of the night with the cold sweats. And then it's a test. It's really just a test. So you have to get yourself together again and say, no, 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 no. I am not doing this anymore. And I have said this and I have already proven this to myself. No. And then the clock goes tick, 12 o'clock. And it's like, okay, we were just testing you. Thank you. Bye. And you're like, oh my God. Okay. So that's one experience that happens on the path. Another one is, where's this road going? And sometimes it seems like it's going downward. Sometimes it's going upward. And I've heard the spiritual path being described as a giant spiral, but it's the road in front of you. It looks straight. But actually, it's a spiral. So if you're in the north quadrant and you're like, hey, this looks familiar. This is where I doubt myself. And this is where everything falls apart. And this is where, and then you keep moving and the cycle, it's like comes in cycles, like seasons. Right. And sometimes you're going up the path and sometimes you're going down the path. And for us to wake up and say, oh, I think I made a wrong turn here, and I'm going backwards. And when people come to me and they're just so troubled and they say, oh, my God, everything's crazy and I'm lost. I don't know who I am. I thought I did. But, I know I'm going to do this. And then you're like, wait a minute. Whoa. I'm like, what? Do you have an answer? And I'm like, yeah, remember the path. Yeah. Whenever we're lost, all we have to do is look for the road sign, because the name of the path is called surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we're lost, all we have to do is surrender that feeling, and then automatically we're back on the path again. It's ego.
Just letting it go.
It's ego. It's fear.
Yep.
Every time we're freaking out, every time we try to control things, it's just fear-based. It's our human nature. We got to just drop it. And then we move into our spiritual nature. And the more we practice this one move of letting go of fear and saying yes to surrender and then watching the magic happen, it happens easier and easier and easier each time that it happens.
Right. It's one of the things I get asked periodically is, do you play video games? Because I know some people that are gamers. And I go, why would I do that? My life is exactly like your video game.
Yes.
I go in and I do challenging things, and I meet interesting people who give me a new task to do. And if I succeed, they give me a new level of understanding or a magical whatever the symbol is. And then I level up and then it starts over again.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's happening inside my personal internal experience, but why would I want to play it on TV?
Yes.
Better sound effects? No.
And it's so experiential, you know, being on the path, because it's emotional, it's fascinating. And people who have a 9-to-5 job and they're asleep, and when all of a sudden they wake up, it's almost like Technicolor.
Right. And everything goes from black and white to Technicolor.
Yeah.
Well, I often talk about people who are, in quotation marks, psychic, are broadband. So most people are walking around listening to the spiritual equivalent of AM radio. It's very local. It's staticky. It's hard to tune in. There isn't much on it. It's mostly very ego-based, you know, local news and country music and talk radio. And then all of a sudden, they start finding out there's more to listen to, and it becomes this broadband experience where there's everything out there. You just either didn't have the equipment at the time and you now have it, or you just weren't tuning in. And for the people that are still listening to AM radio, the people that are broadband are terrifying.
Yes. And sometimes too much freedom makes people scared as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know how to choose at that level.
Right.
And they don't know how to choose for themselves, because they're so used to being chosen for, because that's the box that they grew up in. So choice and lots of choice freaks people out so much. But when, again, the safety, the trust, when we can start trusting the feet under our, you know, the ground under our feet, just that one little space, and that's the present moment, basically. When we can trust the present moment and trust our ego from from not making any fast moves right now, then we can move in a slow pace, because there is no hurry.
Right.
You're on the path. The path is going to be there. You can die 5-7 times and you're going to get back on the path eventually, hopefully. So there's no hurry. There's no rush. When we slow down and be fully present with ourselves, that's when the magic starts happening. That's when the fear really can't get involved, because there's nothing to snatch on to. And we're just easing like a lazy river stream. You know, we're just easing down the path. And it's so easy. It's like taking a walk in the woods. It's just a stroll. And you look here, and oh, look, that tree, and over there. And hey, look at the sunlight coming through. And we start breathing, we start slowing down, we start connecting with the woods. I was recently on a 9-day spiritual event, and it was a part of my spiritual path because my community was rejecting me. And I was like, what? These are my brothers and sisters. You know, like, why am I the weird one all of a sudden? I thought these people liked me, but they weren't. And whatever, you know, whatever. I don't care. It's my reality. It's not, maybe it wasn't even true and I was just making it up, but I had evidence. So, and I thought, this is jacked up. You know, I'm taking 9 days of work off. I'm here and I'm feeling rejected and people aren't understanding me. And I thought I left that kind of experience when I woke up and left my, you know, regular structure. So I got up, I'm an early riser, and I got up and I went to the mountain and I started taking a walk. The trail that's usually there was a road, you know, for, I don't know, maintenance road or something. The woods have been dying and a lot of the trees have fallen. It's going through its own transformation. So the road was blocked considerably. And I thought, well, you know, I've got a whole hour and I have a good general sense of direction. I can't tell my left from my right, but I know where north is all the time. So people think I'm crazy. They're like, your left. And I'm like, is that the left? Is that the left?
Other left.
Yeah. But I know where west is. I know, you know, I know my direction. So I thought, okay. And every day I would go to the woods and I figured things out and I could find stuff. And on the third or fourth day, I discovered a deer trail. I was like, wow, this is so cool. And there was no one there to share it with. So I just had to enjoy it all by myself. And this deer trail would disappear and then reappear. So I would have to sense the direction of the deer path. And the trees that I passed on the deer trail were amazing compared to the trees that were on the normal road. A hummingbird in the middle of the woods, where there's no flowers, by the way, buzzed exactly over my head. And because I was so still and so present, I could hear it. And it was, I don't know, probably 30 feet way up there, right above me, but I could hear it loud, loud. And I thought, what is a hummingbird doing in the middle of the woods? But there was just these gifts. And then I started realizing the trees and how the trees were territorial, like every little area had a big tree or an important tree or an old tree. And that was the tree boss of the area. And mm-hmm. I could see the animals and how they moved about and where their little homes were. And I was so connected to the environment. And the environment gives us feedback. When we're connected on our path, there's signs all along. And the more still we get, the more better we listen. It's easier. When people say, gosh, I wish life was simple, we have to let go of so much. And then it's simple. We're the ones right. that complicate it.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's always wonderful when you have a place like that where you can safely just go out into the woods and see what there is to listen to and not be surrounded by man-made things. I was talking to somebody about New York City, and there's no evidence I ever grew up, but I grew up there. And I don't know that I could go back. I haven't been there in probably 20 years because there is so much man-made, so many people, so much man-made stuff, so much electronic and vibrational stuff, so much noise, that if you're sensitive and you're looking for the nuances on the path, all that noise is overwhelming.
Yeah.
Especially the number of people per square inch is really overwhelming.
Yes, I was there for a convention, a spiritual convention, and we were doing an expo at a hotel. I was in the hotel room with my friend, my spiritual friend, and we were having our spiritual experience in the privacy of our hotel room. You know, it was quiet, right. Four walls. We created our environment. We were having a spiritual conversation. We were both calm and happy. Everything was wonderful. And I'm an empath, so I know what you mean about being overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I feel everybody else's feelings, so I have to do these like techniques. And one of the techniques is I have to announce in my head what's going on. because there's a little bit of a lag time as I float through my experience of my day, I have to say, okay, okay, everybody, like we're leaving the hotel room. And we are now entering the elevator.
Right.
There's two strangers in the elevator. I'm like, okay, there's two beings in the elevator. And now, you know, you have to kind of act normal again. We open the elevator. The elevator opens and there's a lobby full of people. I'm like, okay, I'm in the lobby in New York and there's a lot of people here. Okay. Okay. So that means shut the door, shut the windows, pull the blinds, you know, close in, bring all my energy inward so I don't absorb other people's energy. And so other people aren't absorbing my energy. And then I get depleted and a little dizzy and disorientated.
Yep.
So then it's time to go out into the streets. I'm like, okay, take a deep breath and I prepare. I am now on the streets of New York and there's a lot of people and a lot of energy and a lot of stimulation and I need to focus because we need to get from point A to point B and I need to watch my back, watch out for my friend and enjoy what there is to enjoy. But I have to set myself up first so I don't get overwhelmed so I can enjoy what's available to me.
Right, right. Absolutely. And I've been enjoying this, and we're running out of time again.
So fast.
It's amazing how fast an hour goes.
Yeah.
So let's make sure people know how to find you. Please give your web address.
It's UrsulaLentini.com, and I'll spell it UrsulaLentini.
Ursula Lentini. And do you have something coming up that people should know about?
Let me see. The next event, my teacher's coming, but that's tomorrow. That's too late to go attend. I am going to do, this is in March, but this is new, so I'll just say it's, you know, what this is. There's a book that Marian Williamson wrote, and it's A Course in Weight Loss. She's A Course in Miracles. She's a big course person.
Right.
She's definitely metaphysics, definitely spiritual, and she's fascinating. She is very tuned in, and she wrote this book, and the book is full on in her language. It's intense. And it's a high-level book. Just reading it makes you exhausted and much less doing the techniques. But I'm going to do a 10-week class in March. And it's going to be all-inclusive as far as nutrition. And I'm going to break it down. We're going to go into the emotional work that carries you to why we're carrying so much weight. It's not because we're eating too much. It is because we're eating too much. But more, it's because we're eating emotionally.
Emotions, right.
And what are these emotions behind the food?
Sounds great. So you'll have to come back and talk about it as it gets closer.
Oh, love to.
So I would love to have you back. Thanks so much for being my guest tonight.
Thank you.
My guest tonight is Ursula Lentini. As you can tell, she is amazing. So go to her website, find out more about her work. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And if you got curious at all about what this strange guy David does, you can find more information at househealing.com. And cleverly hiding in plain view on the contact tab is every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me, including a scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute free assessment of person, place, situation, whatever it happens to be, to see how my work might be helpful to you. And that's free of charge, so take advantage of that. If you want more information about the show, we're hiding that in plain view at thefarkasfiles.com. It's got the archive of however many years we've been doing this now. I really should have somebody look that up. I have no idea anymore. And you can listen to all the recordings directly from there or find them on iTunes, podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and a bunch of others. Just search for Empower Radio or the Farkas Files, and there are lots of places to listen to it. On EmpowerRadio.com, the Farkas Files, last time I looked, are playing at 9 p.m., every day there will be one of the archived shows, and Thursday obviously is our live recording with whoever our guest is that week. So please tune into all of that. This is the new moon and the beginning of the Jewish New Year, so take all that in and start this new year fresh and have an incredible week. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in there somewhere on Empower Radio. See you next week.